Khan Show with Anna DeBlasius on 720 WGN.
It's Tuesdays, and our favorite alderman is here.
That is correct. Well, he's our favorite alderman because he's also our alderman. And let me just say, because we haven't had a chance to publicly thank you for this yet. I mean, we publicly thanked you, but with you in presence, you helped us so much with our Toys for Tots. Thousands of toys raised and thousands of dollars raised as well. People were just dropping money off left and right, and we're just handing it immediately to the Marines because I didn't want anybody touching it. Except for the Marines.
That's wise.
That were here for Toys for Tots. We did what will be, a week and a half ago, essentially. Yeah. And it was your help to get us to be able to be set up here on Pioneer Court. And thank you so much, Alderman Brendan Riley.
Thank you.
It was my pleasure to help, and congratulations. I know it was really successful. So thank you guys for hosting the event.
Thank you. All right. Let's talk about the Vehicular Terrorism Task Force in Chicago. I would like to know, is this about cars driving up on the street and doing damage to people or trucks or whatever, or is this about carjacking?
No, it's related to Homeland Security and trying to prevent what we've seen play out in London and in New York and other cities around the world. I think it's a new trend, and any city that has a lot of wide open public right of way needs to think very carefully about how we plan for these things. So although I don't always agree with Alderman Burke and some of his ordinances, I do think that this is a good initiative. I don't want the general public to think that without this task force, there isn't a lot of planning that's already going on. The Office of Emergency Management and Communications spends a lot of time with Homeland Security day in, day out, game planning for stuff like this. But having some permanent installations to permanently secure these places, I think, makes a lot of sense.
You've seen a lot of those go up over recent years. This would, what, multiply that by a factor of two or more? Or is there another part of this where...
Well, I mean, I think that we'll have to see what the task force recommends, but I got to figure that the installation of removable bollards will be a big component of that.
Now, explain what that would mean for... people.
So you actually can see these in the loop near the Federal Reserve Bank and in other places. These are large, thick pillars. They're only about maybe 3 or 4 feet tall, and you can literally screw them deep into the pavement. And if you want to remove those for certain special events or whatever, that can be done, and then you just cap that hole. But it's a way to...
Because that's an ankle turner right there. I just thought about that. A guy with weak ankles thinks about that all the time.
Yeah, it's a lawsuit for sure.
Yeah.
But those things are very effective. They're not tremendously expensive, and it doesn't require a permanent fix that's there forever.
Did I see those when I was downtown for the Thanksgiving parade? It seemed like they had really secured the perimeter of that parade in a way that made you feel really safe.
Yes, you can drop off special event planters and bollards that aren't terribly attractive. The idea is we could actually kind of meet somewhere in the middle and have a semi-permanent bollard that you can screw in and screw out. It also involves how you police the right-of-way. At certain locations where you have a lot of attractive wide-open space, that's an area where you want to position squad cars or other kinds of movable barriers, trucks, that kind of stuff. So I think a task force convening around this and making this a single purpose is a good initiative. It makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure it'll come up with some excellent recommendations for us to implement.
Well, it was interesting when right in the aftermath of the New York attack, not this most recent one, but the one a few weeks ago, really on the Lower West Side, where there was a guy got on the bike path.
I was sitting here with you
when that happened. Right.
That's right.
And we noticed a change in behavior, police and city protocols, for weeks after that.
And actually that day, right out your booth window,
we
had squads up on the sidewalk here preventing people from being able to access that.
Right, because this is a large plaza here, and one would imagine that that's got its own, that's its own deal.
Sure.
So, you're right. I mean, we do have to think about that. Thankfully, Chicago has not experienced this to date.
That's right.
And we're, hopeful that we don't, but... We have to be prepared. Well, now, in terms of, if I could just move over to the CTA for a second, obviously we had this guy yesterday at the Port Authority in New York who blew up his pants, which luckily that was his, that's as far as that got.
Yeah,
but that was certainly not the intention.
No.
And I have noticed that security at the CTA is very different than it used to be, at least counterterrorism security. People get on and want to steal something from somebody or armed robber or whatever. That's a very difficult, unless you put metal detectors, that's going to be really, really, really difficult to be able to police. But I feel pretty good. I know people laugh when I say I feel good about the CTA, but I do, actually.
People don't picture you on the CTA.
I know they don't, but I got my venture card. I do. And I live downtown, and it is really a better way, especially when the weather sucks.
Sure.
It's a better way to get around. I feel like it's such a vast improvement from when I was a kid and there's a lot of other passive security measures that we don't think about and don't know about.
Really. That's right.
Well, and that was one of the things that started to be discussed in the wake of what happened in New York with the guy driving into the bike path, the tragic day there, and mm-hmm. killing so many people. Should there be a no rent list? We have a no fly list. Should you not be able to rent, you know, large trucks and that kind of thing in an area? Is there any work being done in that way?
Well, OEMC is already, Justin, I think this week, been taking a look at implementing a list like that. That's something that New York City, it's sad to say, that was an effort well underway in that city when that event occurred. Mm. But it does make good practical sense, and I know that the city's OEMC folks are working with Homeland Security to try and assemble that kind of list. I know it's hard to implement.
Sure.
And I'm sure we'll hear a lot about that from the task force, but I know that that will be a part of that conversation. And when it comes to the CTA generally, what Ro is saying is true. It's changed a lot. We have a long way to go on improving security on our CTA for the average commuter. We have still far too much crime occurring on and around it. But when it comes to Homeland Security, a few years back, you never would have seen sniffing dogs walking through all these concourses. That is now a regular occurrence. You also occasionally see officers with long guns. Mm-hmm. That's not something you used to see a few years back.
Right.
So we are sending the message. We're taking this seriously. You've seen upgrades to security surveillance cameras in the CTA stations. That's for a specific purpose. And so there is a lot of effort going into this now.
Oh, man, when you see the like you mystically said, for a specific purpose, when some bad guy does something downtown and then he decides to use the CTA as a getaway, which is, since I've had the CTA, that has been the thing. You get the most unbelievably detailed pictures of them from the CTA.
You could frame those photos.
You could.
So clear.
I mean, that's the thing. And I always wonder when people do that, and then they go home at night. And they go, "Well, I got away with it." And then they look at TV, and there is like a picture. It's like the best headshot ever of somebody.
It's crystal clear,
right? And
right?
It's like
it's better than your ID photo,
right? There's no way that somebody who knows that person doesn't know that's that person.
You know, those enhanced cameras actually led to a lot of arrests.
I'll bet
they don't prevent those types of crimes from occurring, but man, do we have a pretty good success rate in catching folks.
I would imagine that is the case. All right, stay right here. I want to ask you about two other things that are happening in the city. I think are very interesting because you do have daylight robberies and carjackings on the rise. Mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit about what that's about. And this the banning of businesses that will not accept cash. Mm. Those two stories are kind of related in their own way. We'll talk about that with Alderman Brendan Riley on Tuesdays with Brendan. But first, we have got WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Here's Violetta.
Flashback to the 80s and laugh along with The Goldbergs, starring Chicago's very own Jeff Garland. Weeknights at 10:30 and 11 on WGN-TV.
All right. Brendan Riley is here. He's an alderman. Tuesdays with Brendan. And we like to talk about the city and things that are working and things that... This is the city that works, by the way. We never say that anymore.
Why don't we say that anymore, Brendan?
It works most days. It works most days.
That's what she said at the airport. Welcome to Chicago, the city that works most days.
Most days. Yeah. Kind of works.
Hey, please use the stairs. The elevator's out of service.
I did see the mayor was on the Stephen Colbert last night.
Oh, I missed that.
And it was interesting because he was a very funny color of orange. That was they made him up. You know, sometimes you got to have the right makeup artist because...
he can warm you up too much and you look like a Cheeto.
Yes, and that's what he did. He looked like a Cheeto. And he had his shirt collar was kind of below. They didn't dress him properly. And that's on CBS's fault, because when you go in there, no matter what you're wearing, there are tricks that they can use to make it pop on television and make it, make you look a little bit better. But maybe he's one of those guys that don't touch me. Well, we got to put some makeup on. All right. And they do like the first thing and do it quickly and then it was over. So but it was interesting. I got a sense of something.
Huh.
Last night.
What's that?
As much as the mayor, this is the job that he says is the job he always wanted and his favorite job and all that. And I believe that because I think being mayor of Chicago is a pretty cool job. I mean, it's hard, it's an impossibility. But if you do truly love the city, and I believe the mayor does, mm-hmm. I don't dispute that. Mm-hmm. And you're capable of doing it, then I think it's a very, you know, it's a great job to have. I believe when he says it. However, I had the sense last night watching him thinking, I wonder if he thinks he can run for president.
Hmm.
Huh.
Hmm.
Well, first of all, I bring my hair and makeup, folks, with me wherever I go, so I'm never going to have that problem.
That's why you always look so sharp. Right? I wonder, Brendan.
Yeah, right.
All right. What are we doing about daylight robberies and carjackings?
Well, those are two separate issues. With regard to the increase in carjackings, we need to beef up our traffic services division in the police department. And this is something that actually came up during the budget hearings last month down at City Hall. We've put a lot of resource in the police department into beat cops and into mm-hmm. tactical units and gang crime, but I think to the detriment of traffic services. We simply don't have a lot of cops rolling around pulling over vehicles for minor infractions. That's how you actually catch a lot of folks. You actually have people being, you know, cops out there pulling over folks for infractions, but interviewing with them and talking to them and taking a look at what's in the car.
So the street stop, the whole concept of the initial contact.
That's it, having an initial contact. There's a lot less of that in traffic services now. There are fewer resources in that division. That's changing very quickly because of these trends and these statistics. But that has been a vulnerability that we've seen, I think, here in the city for the last two budgets.
Do you think it's just a sort of a criminal cultural change that the carjacking is a fairly quick and easy way to get an asset that you can use either to sell off or to use in the commission of another crime and just keep moving around? No. Because the problem is with now most cars have some form of tracking, and there's a way to track license plates and things like that. So bad guys only want a car for a very short period of time.
That's right. Unless they're taking it to a chop shop and tearing it up and selling it off.
Right,
but
which
yeah,
is less of the case now, I think.
Yeah. Here, it's committing a lot of other crimes.
Yeah. All right. And the other thing, too, the banning of cashless businesses. I find that kind of interesting.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm not, I generally understand the sponsor, again, Alderman Burke, understand his intent. I think that's eventually down the road the inevitability. I think we will eventually get to a cashless society. But in the meantime, there are an awful lot of folks that fall through the cracks today that don't have ready access to credit cards, may not maintain a bank account, and live paycheck to paycheck. So I don't think you can go completely cashless because you do leave a lot of folks behind. I'm happy to learn more about that ordinance, but typically I prefer that kind of policy to be set at the state level rather than at the local level.
There is a theory that the more we move away from cash in the society, the more street crime goes up because people who would be street hustling and looking for it's less effective to street hustle for cash than it used to be because there is less cash.
Yeah, most people can actually say, I only have a credit card.
Right, mm-hmm. And so it has turned to now trying to steal things of value or to release you of the things of value that they can get, and it's an interesting slide cause and effect that's happening here. Mm-hmm. So, all right, well. We'll just have to see what happens here. I just like the idea. I do like the cashless part of like getting on the train. I don't even know how to use.
Doesn't it cost like $5 to buy a little square that you put on your phone to swipe cards?
I mean, yes. Maybe yes, in theory.
Maybe so that's where panhandling's heading to. I don't know.
Yeah.
That would work. That could totally work.
I could cube. Yeah, okay. I suppose that's the case. All right, Alderman, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Alderman Brendan Riley, there's a chicken in every pot as far as he is concerned. Although I'm going to tell you, I think there is something to be said about that deal with the mayor. I watched him last night, and he seemed to be very comfortable in that spotlight. And I just wondered for a second, is he going to run for president in 2020? Just a thought. I know he would say, "Perish the thought, people."